All right, we'd start with some music to set the mood. Can y'all hear me? I want to make sure this thing works. It works? Good. Glad Richard got all the bugs out of it. Okay. Well, Jesus Christ Superstar. Title of my class for the next 10 weeks or so is Who is Jesus Christ? And I'm sure you all already know who Jesus Christ is, and you're like, where'd you get that topic from, Steve? But what I want to do in this class is maybe try to go a little deeper. We're not just going to look at a gospel and go through and talk about Jesus. We're going to look at passages all over the Bible that talk about who Jesus is. And my goal is maybe we can stretch our minds a little bit. Maybe look at something new that we haven't looked at before. Or if we have, maybe it will just remind us and strengthen our convictions about Jesus. I also want to talk about some of the modern controversies about Jesus a little bit, since it's out there in our culture, and you'll see it all the time. And a second goal I have is to try to make Jesus more real for us. The idea for this class for me began a couple of months ago. I decided in my quiet times to read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, read them all three Gospels, Synoptic Gospels. And I wanted to make Jesus more real, and I realize I'm reading through, and a lot of times Jesus isn't real to me. I mean, it's just I read the red letters, you know, and I take them as the word of God, and I need to obey them. They're like commands, and I respect the words, but Jesus isn't a real person to me. You know, some of the other characters seem real to me, and I appreciate Richard's class on the apostles. I can relate to them, but sometimes it's hard for Jesus to seem real to me. And so I wanted that to be a goal of the class, if possible. One thing I did, I went out and I rented a bunch of movies about Jesus. And I watched 12 hours of movies about Jesus over the last month or so. And there are some bad ones, and there are some good ones. But that's one thing I would urge everyone to do to start out this class, is go rent a movie about Jesus and watch it. And there'll be good and bad in it. I mean, there was one movie we rented where everybody else talked like this in the movie, and Jesus talked like this. You know, the apostles would ask him a question, and he'd answer it like this. And I kept wanting to, you know, turn it up whenever Jesus talked. I'm like, what was that about? You know, I don't know. But, you know, there's some strange ones out there. But there's in almost any of them, there was one or two or three or maybe more scenes that really made you think. You know, and it helped me to think, what was Jesus really like? What was it really like to be around him? And that's one goal I have for the class. And just to inspire us to sort of renew our love for Jesus. I mean, we're disciples. We've decided to follow Jesus. You know, maybe recently, maybe a long time ago. But I thought a class just focusing in on who is Jesus would help us just renew that decision that we made. Maybe make it fresh again and new in our lives that Jesus is the one we're following. I mean, we have a lot of sort of responsibilities as disciples, in different roles that we have, but the really the goal of it all, is the center of it all is Jesus, and I wanted to focus on that. Turn to Luke chapter 8. I don't know if this is going to work, but I wanted to make the class a little more interactive, so I'm going to come down off the stage, if that's okay. And stand here. Can everyone see me? Okay, if I see you falling asleep, I'll have Carol play the music again. Luke chapter 8. Now, this is a familiar passage, but I want you to try to imagine yourself there. You know, imagine it as if you were watching a movie or a maybe think about how Spielberg or Lucas would film this scene. You know, I couldn't find a good scene of this in the movies I saw. No one does it very well, but but someone could if they would. Anyway, just imagine, you know, it's really happening. Verse 22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got in a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were all in great danger. Who knows what a squall is? It's a serious, furious, sudden storm on the water. Has anybody ever been on a small boat in a squall? Okay, a bunch of people. But Barb is raising her hand, yeah. We have a small boat at Lake Lanier. I'm not sure I've ever been in a squall on my boat on Lake Lanier. I try to avoid going out when there might be a squall. But we have been out there when there was a lot of waves, and when you're in a little boat and the waves get going and you have no control. You're like, in a car you can just stop, you know. You have no, in the boat, you're just there. You have no control. Now, one day we were sailing up near Pensacola. We were learning to sail. And our instructor was showing us different things, and we were actually motoring along the Intercoastal Waterway, and I was at the helm. Barb was making lunch. It was about lunchtime. And we came upon a barge, a dredging barge, in the middle of the channel. We didn't know which way to go. And the barge actually tooted its horn at us, telling us we needed to stop. And the instructor, he had to go below to try to raise the barge on the radio and figure out which way to go. And he told me to just sort of circle the boat until we figured out which side of the barge we should go on. Well, what we didn't know, because we had been paying attention to what was in front of us, is a squall was coming up right behind us. And as soon as I turned the boat around, I hit the squall. Visibility went to zero. And the instructor is down below, and I'm in charge of the boat. And I can't see anything. And the boat stopped moving because the wind against it, and I had to power up. I'm like, I hope I'm doing the right thing. I'm in a narrow channel. I could have hit the rocks. I couldn't see where I was going. So I had a little taste of what the disciples had here. Now, the squall settled down pretty quick, and eventually I could see the channel, and it worked out okay. But here it says they were in great danger, and these were, some of these men, experienced fishermen. And they spent a lot of time on the Sea of Galilee. I'm sure they had experienced squalls before. But this one was pretty serious, and they were in great danger. And just imagine that, you know, the wind. When there's a serious, a lot of wind on the water, visibility goes down. The water blowing across the waves can reduce visibility to where you almost can't see anything. Call it a whiteout. And it was probably something like that. So there they are, and then picking back up in verse 24, it says, "The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we are going to drown.' He got up, rebuked the wind and the raging waters, the storm subsided, and all was calm." "Where is your faith?" he asked the disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." You know, it says all was calm. It's one of those famous contradictions in the Bible. All was calm except the disciples. You know, they were freaked out. Jesus just flipped a switch and turned it all off. That the storm just stopped. You know, the waves calmed down, no wind. How do you think you'd feel if you were there when that happened? You know, that says here that they were amazed. They had fear and amazement. You know, as I was reading through the three Gospels, I noticed that word amazed appears a lot in reference to Jesus. And sometimes it's miracles like this, you know, he does an amazing miracle, but sometimes it's just something he says. And it's not always just his disciples that are amazed. Sometimes it's just ordinary people, you know, just the crowd is amazed at Jesus. And my question for us today is Jesus still amazing to us? You know, are we amazed by Jesus? Probably, if we're disciples, we were amazed by Jesus at one point in our lives, at least. Is he amazing to us now? Or do we take him for granted? You know, has it become kind of stale and old hat? You know, has it been a long time since Jesus did something amazing in our lives? You know, that's what we've been going through, the 40 days of prayer and fasting. You know, that's what that's for, is to help us collectively as a church to call on God to do some amazing things again among us. You know, in our individual lives and collectively as a congregation. And that's what it's all about. We want God to do some amazing things again. And Jesus can. Jesus can. You know, look at what the disciples ask. Now, these were men who had already decided to follow Jesus. They had already decided he was the Messiah. But when he does this miracle, they're astonished and they say, "Who is this? Who is Jesus Christ?" That's where I got the title from my series. You know, they're like, "Who is this?" You know, they had an image of who the Messiah was supposed to be, but Jesus went beyond that. Amen. You know, Jesus was more than they were expecting the Messiah to be. And they were just amazed here. And you see that, you know, you see the disciples themselves, you know, having trouble grasping who Jesus is. And that's what I want to do. I want to look at, you know, sort of try to go back to the first century in our minds. And what was it like when people encountered Jesus? What was it like when it, you know, for it to dawn on them who he really was and what it all meant? Turn over to Matthew chapter 16. And what I may do in the class as we go through, I may bring some movie clips. We got we actually got legal on that. We bought a license so we can show movies. And I may bring in some movie clips. I may bring in some of the best scenes from the Jesus movies I watched, or I may bring in some scenes from movies that aren't really about Jesus at all, but it'll illustrate the point. So I'm still working some of that out. You know, I played the music Superstar from the Broadway musical, Jesus Christ Superstar. And let's talk a minute about superstars. Richard already kind of introduced the topic when he talked about our celebrity culture. You know, who are superstars in the world today? Athletes, okay. Actors and actresses. Who? Yeah, musicians, singers. Politicians. Obama's a superstar right now, right? Some preachers, televangelists maybe. You know, we think about... It's celebrities, like Richard was talking about. Our culture is obsessed with celebrities, and that's who we consider superstars, people who are rich, famous, they have talent, sports or entertainment kind of talent, or maybe speaking talent. And we just, you know, we're all agog about people like that. My question, will anyone be talking about LeBron James 50 years from now? Maybe, yeah. I mean, you know, we still talk about Babe Ruth. Maybe, but how about 100 years from now? Yeah. Name the most famous baseball player of the 19th century. Cy Young? Okay, maybe we could do it. How about 2008 years from now? Will people even know what baseball was? Or what rock music was, or, you know, but we're still talking about Jesus. Right. And not just us, but, you know, the world still talks about Jesus. Hollywood makes movies about him, even if they're not quite right sometime. You know, that's more than a superstar. You know, that Jesus still has impact on the world today, 2,000 years later, and has impact on us. I mean, the reason most of us are sitting in this room is because we've decided to follow Jesus. 2,000 years after he walked the earth, he's still affecting our lives. You know, who was Jesus that he had that kind of effect? Who was he? Let's look in Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Okay, he asks them, who does the man on the street say that I am? Now, if we did that today, who would people today say that Jesus is?
Son of God.
Okay, a lot of people would say he's the Son of God.
A prophet,
a great teacher, like Buddha or Confucius or Muhammad, somebody like that. A savior. A legend, a myth. Some people would say that. What would Dan Brown say? Dan Brown, he wrote a book called The Da Vinci Code. Y'all heard of that? He would say he married Mary Magdalene and had children and they became the Merovingian dynasty. You know, there's some weird stuff out there too. You know, I think the Superstar show sort of portrayed Jesus as a 60s hippie. And a Godspell was the same way. I think a lot of people think of Jesus sort of as a 60s hippie. You know, he preached love and being nice to people. You know, and maybe that's why he got in trouble. He's kind of a 60s hippie, but not judgmental. Never judgmental, never self-righteous. Help the poor and downtrodden. And all those things are true to some degree. But again, it's kind of a one side of Jesus. There's weirder stuff. I don't know if you saw the TV special James Cameron made a year or two ago called The Jesus Family Tomb. Anybody see that? They thought they had found Jesus' tomb, you know. He's dead and buried in the tomb along with his family. Mary Magdalene, of course, his wife. And his son's name was Judas, which is hilarious. They proved by DNA testing that Jesus and that the Jesus in the tomb and the Mary in the tomb weren't related genetically, so they must have been married. But you know, they could have been married to other people in the tomb. I mean, you know, Jesus, which is just it's the same word as same name as Joshua. It was a very common name in Palestine. So anyway, there's silly stuff out there, but there's more serious scholarly stuff out there. There's a scholar, his name is James Tabor, who says that. His theory is that Jesus was the illegitimate son of Mary and a Roman soldier named Pantera. Yeah, that's what I think of that too. But the interesting thing is they're probably going to make a movie about that. Next year, probably, you'll see a movie. I don't know if it'll be so like The Da Vinci Code, or maybe it'll try to be a documentary about Jesus being the illegitimate son of a Roman soldier named Pantera, whose grave they found in Germany. I don't know if you've heard about the alternative Gospels. Has anybody heard about the Gospel of Thomas? The Gospel of Judas? All these Gnostic Gospels? And a lot of people think, oh, well, that tells us stuff about Jesus. But the problem, of course, all those Gospels were written in the 2nd century or later. There are only 4 Gospels that have any real historical roots in the 1st century, that have real connections to people who knew Jesus. Can you maybe name them? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the only ones that date to the 1st century. All the other ones, which they get so excited about, they're like from 150 or later, just about all of them. So most serious scholars wouldn't take them as telling us anything about Jesus, but people want to. In fact, some serious scholars do, most serious scholars don't. There's a scholar who teaches at Harvard Divinity School, and she calls Thomas the 5th gospel. She thinks it should be added to the Bible. So there's a lot of stuff out there. I think at all levels in our culture, there is an assault on the Jesus of faith, the Jesus of the Bible. People are assaulting sort of the view of Jesus of faith that we all hold from the Bible. And so it's good to look back at the question, who is Jesus? Let's look for a minute about who they thought Jesus was in the 1st century, back in Matthew 16. Who do people say the Son of Man is? Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And when I was reading through the 3 Synoptic Gospels recently, I noticed that prophet is what most people describe Jesus as. Just the crowd. They would say a prophet is among us. Or a great prophet has arisen. That's how they sort of view Jesus, as a prophet. That was their frame of reference. That's the word they used to sort of describe the impact Jesus had on them. And these are not necessarily people who decided to follow him, but that was just sort of, he's a prophet. Wow. Well, and that's what the disciples report here. They say Elijah, Jeremiah. Think about for a minute, what kind of men were these? What kind of men were the Old Testament prophets? I looked up shrinking violet in the dictionary, and I couldn't find Elijah or Jeremiah mentioned there. These guys were pretty bold. They were pretty strong. Elijah dueled 400 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and when he won, had them all killed. Jeremiah preached that the Babylonians were coming, and no one in Israel wanted to listen to him. They threw him down a well. They did all kinds of stuff. His prophecies turned out to be true because they were from God. But it was not a happy message. They weren't exactly 60s hippies, okay, with flowers. And, you know, they're a very different kind of men. And he mentions John the Baptist. Hold your place here. Let's look quickly over at Luke chapter 3. What kind of person was John the Baptist? I kind of like most of the portrayals of John the Baptist in the Jesus movies. I think they usually got him right. Somehow they got Jesus wrong, but they got JB right. Okay, in Luke 3, starting in verse 1, I won't read it all, but Luke starts telling us about the ministry of John the Baptist. And we're going to start down in verse 7 where we get a flavor of what John preached. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you, out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." John the Baptist wasn't exactly a shrinking violet either. You know, and this is who they compare Jesus to. And actually, Jesus preached a message like this, didn't he? You turn to Matthew 25, you see almost the same language used by Jesus. I mean, he was pretty strong in things he said. You know, Jesus was countercultural, and in that sense, he's like a 60s hippie, but he was countercultural in a very challenging way. He challenged folks to repent. Amen. Just like the prophets in the Old Testament did, or just like John the Baptist did. You know, Jesus wasn't always nice and kind. Sorry. Now, he could be very compassionate to the poor, to lepers, to the woman caught in adultery. He could be very compassionate and gentle and tender with people. But he wasn't always that way. He was very strong with hypocrites, with the religious leaders of his day who he taught had missed the point of God's word. You know, that was his reputation. He could say strong things and did. He rebuked people. He could stir people up. Always make him softer than the other people. Even the movies, I think they're trying to make him stately or something, but he never seems to raise his voice. But I think he raised his voice. You know, he had the compassionate side, and we'll look at that too in the course of this class. But I wanted us to think today a little bit just about, you know, in the first century, this is what people compared him to. John the Baptist, the prophets, I mean, they thought of him as a powerful man of God who brought a powerful message that called people to change, that stirred people up, that got a reaction from people. And in fact, that's what happened. He was killed because of that. And that's the kind of person we're talking about. Amen. You know, there's a book, my wife led a Bible study about Philip Yancey. Is that the... And he talks about, you know, we got to get away from the felt board Jesus. You know what the felt board Jesus is? The Jesus you had in Sunday school when you were a kid, and they put him on the little felt board with a lamb. Maybe he was holding a lamb. You know, we got to get away from that and recognize what Jesus was really like, because, you know, he's the antidote to our celebrity crazed culture. I mean, if he was here today, he'd be saying some strong things about, you know, our culture and its obsession with fame and fortune and, you know, all and sex and all that stuff. He's the antidote, and he wasn't afraid to get in front of people and challenge them. Is that how you see Jesus? You know, do you see Jesus as someone like that, someone with a strong and powerful message? Obviously, it's changed our lives, but can continue to change our lives and can change the lives of other people. Well, let's close out in looking at what Peter said back in Matthew 16. in verse 15. But what about you, Jesus asked? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, for this was not revealed to you by men, but by my Father in heaven. Okay, Peter says Jesus was the Christ. Now that's actually English transliteration of a Greek word, but Peter probably didn't speak Greek here. He was probably speaking Aramaic, and he said, You are the Messiah. You are the anointed one. You are the one prophesied about in the Old Testament that would come and deliver Israel. That's what Peter said. And that will be our next class next week. We are going to look at Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. But they'll show us some things about what Jesus, who Jesus was and what he came, what the Messiah is, and what the Messianic kingdom is that Jesus brought. Peter also says that he is the Son of the living God. The fancy word for that is the incarnation. That Jesus was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. And we will also have a class about that. That will actually be the fourth class. Maybe that's a little strange not to get to the birth of Jesus until class four, but that will be the fourth class. And in class three, we're going to look at, as I said, class two, we're going to look at what the Old Testament says about Jesus. In class three, we're going to look at what the New Testament says about Jesus before the Gospels were written. The Gospels are actually not the first things written about Jesus in the New Testament. Actually, the Gospels are some of the latest things written in the New Testament. And so we're going to start with the first. We're going to look at the New Testament in chronological order. And we're going to look at things said about Jesus by his earliest followers, the first things that were written and preserved for us in the New Testament. That'll be the third class. So Jesus, who was Jesus? He was amazing. He amazed people. And he can still amaze us today by what he can do in our lives. He was like an Old Testament prophet or John the Baptist. He brought a powerful message. Amen. He was not the felt bore Jesus or the 60s hippie. Right. And he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's what we're going to focus on.